My first guest in this edition is the Louisiana Congressman and Dr. Bill Cassidy, a Republican who represents his state's 6th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Education and Labor Committee, which has some of the oversight over the health care reform process. We want to get his reaction to the comments President Obama made to the American Medical Association on Monday and how he sees this debate playing out in the weeks ahead. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, thanks, Greg. I'm pleased that the president is making health reform a priority. As it turns out, my practice isn't just the regular practice. I actually teach and practice in a public hospital. 90% of the people who go there either have Medicaid or are uninsured. So needless to say, this is an important issue to me. So I'm glad he's considering it. Of course, I'm glad that he's attempting to reach out to physicians who, for whatever reason, are seen not in favor of his plan. But it almost is a bit of irony. He is reaching out to physicians, but not to Republicans. I think there's actually shared values between the two sides. I think, at least in rhetoric, we all agree the patient should be central in whatever reform occurs. That said, let's have some bipartisanship where he not just reaches out to a physicians group, but reaches out to Republicans, so together we can fashion something which works for all Americans, not just for one perspective on America.
Congressman, let me follow up on a couple of things you mentioned there that deal directly with your personal experience. First of all, you mentioned that it seems like, at least at this point, physicians are a little bit skeptical, if not a lot skeptical, about the Obama plan. Why do you think that is?
Because if you look at the history of government involvement in health care, it overpromises and underfunds. And rarely is the patient kept central to the process. I can give you some examples. If you look at Medicare, which attempts to pay for everything. It pays for everything by decreasing the amount of payments to providers. Well, that's okay, I suppose, except that sooner or later they've decreased what they pay primary care physicians so much that some primary care physicians are being paid below their cost of seeing patients. They start limiting the number of Medicare patients they see just so they can keep their practice afloat. This is particularly true with Medicaid. Again, it's insurance for the poor, but it pays 60% of the typical physician's cost to see those patients. So if the doctor's bottom line is his top priority is patients, and he knows that or she knows that she's unable to see these patients because they only pay 60% of her cost and she'll go bankrupt if they do so, then unfortunately she's conflicted. She can't see the patient she wants to and still stay in practice. That is the history of government involvement in health care in the United States. Overpromises, underfunds. In this proposal, folks are saying they'll pay something like Medicare rates, or they're going to give Medicaid for all. Of course, physicians are concerned about that.
A lot of mention has been made by critics of the Obama plan about how this could turn into another Medicare, Medicaid, government entitlement program. You mentioned that the hospital that you worked at, you saw a lot of cases like that. So if this were the reality across the board in the healthcare sector, how would that look in terms of our day-to-day healthcare operations?
If you read the Lewin report, let me back up a little bit. The typical Medicaid patient will tell you, this is my practice. The reason a patient who has Medicaid, supposedly government-run insurance like this plan will be, sees me in a public hospital is because that Medicaid person cannot find a specialist to see them. So I'm a gastroenterologist. I am seeing these patients in the public hospital, and that's because for many of them, that's their only option. Now, we provide good care, but our lines are long, the wait is long, and most people who are used to a private insurance, a private practice, would not find our setting very pleasant. So if you overpromise and underfund, inevitably you've got to balance the books. You begin decreasing what payments will be made. The Lewin Group, in their objective analysis of the public or the government-run health insurance plan being proposed, said that payments would be 20% lower than what physicians receive from private insurance, and that quite likely or most likely, I forget the exact language, not all patients would be able to see all the specialists they want to see. Translated, that means they're paying lower than market price, and many specialists will choose not to see these patients on the government-run health insurance plan. That's exactly what that means. And this is an objective organization. It's not Republicans. It's just somebody who has been contracted to look at this.
President Obama says, though, that those on your side of the aisle who are critical of his plan and believe that this will eventually drive out private insurers, that it will create government-run health care, are engaging in scare tactics. And he says the bottom line is, if you like your doctor, you like your plan, nothing's going to change for you. Why would you tell your constituents that the Obama version of the facts here are not correct?
You know, there's a YouTube moment, and I can actually get you that reference. It's by a Democratic congresswoman from Illinois.
Jan Schakowsky. Mm-hmm.
And she is the one that says, we're pleased about this because we think it'll lead to a single-payer system or something like it. Now, this is not Republicans. This is a Democratic congresswoman who is saying this. Obviously the president has enormous popularity and if personal regard, but does that mean we have to suspend common sense and it's kind of like, who are you going to believe, your lion eyes or the president of the United States? Well, history tells us, the Democratic congresswoman sees this, everyone else sees it, the Lewin group sees it, but because he says it, we're not supposed to believe it. I'm unwilling to suspend my common sense.
We're talking with Louisiana Congressman and Dr. Bill Cassidy. And Congressman, what do you see as the proper prescription for our health care system right now? I know there's a Republican alternative that got unveiled a couple of weeks ago with more of a market-based approach. But from what you saw day-to-day in the hospital with those on the government system of Medicare and Medicaid and those struggling with even the private system, what do you see as the key principles for moving forward in the right way?
You know, Greg, I'm going to speak about my perspective as a patient, as a physician who's been treating patients for 20 years, many of whom are poorly insured or uninsured. As long as you have the insurance company making the decisions, neither the physician nor the patient have any incentive to not order another test. Now, it surprises me that people are speaking about the government-run health insurance plan as being so innovative. The only thing that's innovative about it is that it nationalizes health insurance, like we, make it GM, for example. That's the only thing innovative about it. On the other hand, it still continues the model where the patient and the physician have to go to the insurance company and are relatively separated from the cost of doing business. The better way is to acknowledge that that all Americans need a basic level of primary and preventive services, and they need to be protected against bankruptcy. Now, you can provide primary and preventive services by a direct financial relationship between the patient and the physician without an insurance company in between. That's what HSAs do. There is something called the patient-directed health spending account, in which the patient pays the doctor $100 a month or $50 a month, and the physician takes care of the patient's primary and preventive services needs. That way, if the patient has a headache at 6 o'clock at night, instead of going to the emergency room, she goes to see her physician. And her physician happens to know the patient very well and knows that she doesn't need another CT scan. She just needs something for headaches. Time and time again, this particular model has been shown to work, and yet it's being ignored by the policymakers on the other side of the aisle.
About a minute left here with Louisiana Congressman Bill Cassidy. And Congressman, the other thing we've heard about in the last few days is the price tag on all of this. We've heard $1 trillion total between tax hikes and Medicare and Medicaid cuts. What sort of numbers have you run, and what sort of price tag do you think it'll actually be?
Well, we are seeing the CBO report regarding the Kennedy plan. That's instructive for a couple of reasons. One, it says it's going to cost us $1 trillion over the next 10 years and doesn't include the increased amount required for Medicaid because he has a certain amount of money for Medicaid. It also projects, remember how we spoke about how this will lead to a single payer plan?
Mm-hmm.
It assumes that the CBO analysis of the Kennedy plan, that many people will drop their private insurance to go on to the public or the government-run health insurance plan. So, again, the CBO is predicting this. My particular proposal has not yet been scored by CBO. I expect it to be less expensive because the average primary care physician spends 40% of his practice is spent upon overhead dealing with insurance companies. Put differently, you could take away 40% of their total net income, and as long as they just got paid directly, and they would still be even with where they started out from. That's 40% of the dollar that doesn't go to actually treat a patient. Under my system, that money could be used to pay physicians to actually treat a patient.
Congressman, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Louisiana Congressman and Dr. Bill Cassidy represents his state's 6th Congressional District, member of the House Education and Labor Committee. This is Dateline Washington.